Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for streaming or downloading. See what I did there? I switched it up on you. The Be Our Guest Podcast. So glad you are here to kick off your weekend a bit early with some fun Disney talk. Ricky and Pam have both just returned from a weekend in Central Florida, so we're going to talk about that today and some of the current news as well. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great travel agency, The Magic for Less Travel. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means that Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. There's lots of travel agencies out there. It seems like four or five more pop up each week. But you know what? They're not the best. They haven't been doing this for so long. They don't take care of their customers the way the Magic for Less does. And you're just going to get the best service when you book with the Magic for Less. Check out their website, themagicforless.com. See all the specials, all the booking bonuses you're going to get when you work with them. Absolutely free to use their services, and they're going to chase down those discounts for you and make sure you have a great Disney getaway, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney. So check them out today and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast over at themagicforless.com. When you do that online shopping, please always support the Be Our Guest podcast the easiest way possible. Use our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1522 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. As we've said for almost 11 years now, happy Friday! You know, it's Thursday night if you're listening like Andrew and lots of other friends, but you know what? It's Friday. Any of you are listening on the weekend, it's time to kick back. We're going to have some fun Disney talk. Quick trip reports, kind of going to be all over the place with different experiences because Pam and Ricky went down to Walt Disney World to have some fun and kind of explore Central Florida. A lot of different stuff maybe you don't normally hear about, and we're going to just kind of dive into that today to get us a little bit closer to our favorite place. So joining me today, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
So I just wanted to share that this weekend, it is on Sunday, I will be at our Six Flags here in Atlanta. And I know you're probably asking, why is she talking about Six Flags? It's because there is a Give Kids the World meet at Six Flags. And I believe it's the Coasting for Kids. So I will be there and I'm very excited about it. So if you're there, say hi. I don't know who will be there, but, you know, if anybody will be there that listens to this.
I've driven past that Six Flags before, passing through Georgia.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I have to get there super early in the morning, and I live very far, far away from it. I live almost the opposite end of where that is, so I have to get up super early in the morning on Sunday. Yay!
Do you guys have a Batman ride?
We do have the Batman.
I do like the Batman at Six Flags.
Yes. Yeah, we have the Batman. The same Batman that we had at Six Flags St. Louis. Yes. Yeah. So, same one. And, it's a neat little park. I mean, I like going there. I have a pass there, too.
Me, too. I have one here, and I've gone one time this year.
I've gone
to Disney.
Well.
I've gone to Disney, like, three or four times on my AP, and I've gone to Six Flags once, and I have the pass.
We usually go at Christmas, and what we do is, because it's usually Thanksgiving, because my brother's usually in town, so what we'll do is we'll buy the pass, you know, for the next year,
yep.
And so we'll get 2 years out of it, and we do the Christmas thing, but they're not coming for Thanksgiving this year, so I guess Brian and I have to figure out another time to go.
So you want a fun fact about our Six Flags real quick in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Rode Batman the day it opened, like in a pass holder preview. I won some tickets. And you're probably too young to remember this, but some of our St. Louis listeners will know. I rode the ride, like one of the very first times it went to the general public, like on premiere night, with Steve and DC from 106.5.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Steve and DC? They were awesome.
Yeah. You want to know the interesting thing about me is that I was terrified of roller coasters. And ironically enough, Batman is the first roller coaster that I was brave enough to. Once I finally started getting brave, that's the coaster that I went on the first time to really get me into coaster loving. So isn't that weird?
It's a good little coaster.
The coaster that lets you hang upside down and go upside down and everything like that. That's the coaster that I was like, let me go on that one and get brave. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. I mean, I was like 20, but still, that's the one I want to get on. Not some easy coaster that, you know, I don't go upside down on. It's fine. That one.
You're a Mine Train Forever fan. Anyway, let's get out of the Six Flags stuff. Pam Forrester joining us from up in Pittsburgh. She's the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Pam, do you guys have a Six Flags somewhere near Pittsburgh? You guys have like other amusement parks, right?
So we have Kennywood, which is a local park here in the Pittsburgh area. We have Cedar Point, which is really not that far away from us. And we used to have, when Hannah was little, a SeaWorld. We used to have our own SeaWorld up here
in
Ohio, I know.
Really?
Yeah, we did. And we would buy a season pass to it every year because that's actually a park that you can take, you know, little kids to, right? So we could see the Shamu shows and the dolphin shows and the otter and the walrus and all those shows. And they had a lot of hands-on activities. I really missed it when it was gone. Really, really, really. Mm-hmm. That's our deal. We don't, I think there's a Six Flags. It's not too far away from us, but, you know.
I just remember like my Six Flags, when we were like kids, they had this diving show. Well, they had like a dolphin show too. They had like a little, like a stadium with a pool in the middle of it. But my God, like this thing freaked me out when I was a lot of about Six Flags. So my dad used to take me out there all the time. Like they used to like playing pinball, him and his best friend, and they got season passes and would just haul me along when I was like five or four, I don't know. But like the one thing, this guy would crawl up on this tower, get on this little bitty like diving board. It looked like it might have been like a foot sticking out. And I mean, I swear as a kid, he was as high as the arch. Like this dude was jumping from like 600 feet into this pool. It would freak me out. Like to this day, I'm getting sweaty palms talking about it right now.
It was like a Rumbo situation.
Yes. You know,
he's way up there high and diving into a little pool.
I don't remember that, but like you talking about it is like maybe putting in memories of that.
It was right by Thunder River. Yeah, it was right by Thunder River. There was a little, there's still like, it's right by the Tony Hawk ride. There's still like a little area.
Interesting. I kind of vaguely remember it, but maybe I'm making it up in my head because you're talking about it. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like something I would have seen. I don't know.
It was crazy.
It sounds a little familiar.
And they had dolphins, which you can't do anymore. Anyway, one other thing about this, we're moving on. I've always wondered this, Pam. Is Kennywood owned by Dollywood because Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton were such good friends? No. I've always wondered. Seriously, I didn't know. I don't know. Like, I mean, they sang Islands in the Stream together. I mean, no.
No. There's no Islands of the Streams playing when you're in Kennywood. No, it's not. It's actually that it has been part of the Pittsburgh area for a long time. I believe it was a rail stop at some point. And so now, of course, they have Kenny the Kangaroo, which was sort of the mascot of that.
His name's the Gambler.
No!
Oh, no. but yes, so that, I mean, you know, it's kind of a cool thing. And by the way, I will just give you a little hint for those who might be going to Kennywood or might have gone to Kennywood. So one of the things you have to do at Kennywood, besides the fact that we have the Thunderbolt, which is consistently on America's top 10 list of coasters in the country, Potato Patch Fries, they're famous for. They're fries that have cheese on them. We talked about plastic cheese a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Well, this is real plastic cheese. Like, it's salty as heck plastic cheese.
Nice.
Which is how plastic cheese should be, right?
Exactly.
But they have a lot of really traditional, you know, attractions. And it is a historic landmark. So I'm remembering the story now. It was like kind of a picnic grove on the rail stop. That's how it started and developed into the Kennywood we know today. But yeah, they have a new coaster this year, which is apparently getting a lot of play. People
like it. The Steeler coaster? Is that the one? Yeah.
Steel Curtain.
Time to fold them on this conversation. All right, so let's get to your Disney trips. We're going to just hit some of the highlights. Of course, we only have about 25 minutes or so to squeeze all this in. So, Pam, you went down for the Disney Institute, which used to be a location. Now it's an experience. So tell our listeners a little bit about that.
It is, and the Disney Institute is actually still available. They do sort of classes and conferences across the country. So it is a professional development series that they have. Typically, the ones that they make available in many locations are, there's one on leadership, there's one on employee engagement, and there's one on guest services. And of course, these are three issues that are really in Disney's wheelhouse. So they do a great job with that. But yeah, this one actually took place in Walt Disney World. So I think that's a pretty good excuse to go down there. And they do have this series available at different times of the year. You can actually visit their website and find out more about that. But yeah, we did that. I went down with a couple members of our leadership team, Deb and Audie, and we got to really sort of dive into a couple of these topics. In the past, I've attended other conferences that Disney has put on, and they always have a Disney Institute component of that, be it a session or a breakout or even a keynote. They're really insightful. They use a lot of the principles of their company, and it's so nice that they're willing to share that with so many people, you know, to help them make the experience, make their business better. So it's, I think it's good to always get kind of a little charge like that. And this gave me that opportunity.
So, you know, as somebody who's spent many, many years in education, professional development, trying to learn your trade, you know, because it changes, you know, I mean, like in travel agency, you know, you have different expectations for guests today than you might have had 10 years ago. You know, just the way people vacation is different. In education, we had new trends that came on. You know, kids were different 20 years ago than they are today. So how does Disney go about really maximizing your experience? Because I'm sure they want to make it something relevant that you can go back and within the first 5 minutes of sitting at your desk, you can kind of maybe see things through a different lens. Is it very hands-on? Is it very interactive? Is it kind of a combination of lecture and question answer? Like, what's that experience like?
It is. So it is, you know, they, first of all, the Disney Institute classes give you kind of a workbook to help lead you through the process. There are typically two presenters, which is really great because there's sort of a back and forth, and there could be guest speakers as well. It does, always does offer you some time for thoughtfulness and some time to engage with your other participants. But I think one of the things that makes it very unique, especially when you're there on site, is your field visits include time in the parks or at something else. One of them, we had a little visit into Animal Kingdom Park. We got to participate in what Disney teams call the leader walk, the leadership walk, which is that's when their leaders walk through the park and sort of catch what's going on with their team while they're in the park. And that was really insightful. And then the other day, we got to go backstage at Epcot and saw where the costuming took place and all of that. So that was really a cool thing. And it really was to help to put into practical demonstration a concept that we were covering in class. But it really does help you sort of bring it home when you think about those kind of things. So it was really good. And sometimes in leadership classes or in classes when you're thinking about your business, you sort of walk away from that thinking, oh man, there's a lot of stuff I'm not doing right, or there's a lot of improvements we have to make or whatnot, right?
Right.
But the Disney one, I think we really, all three of us sort of walked away with a, golly, there's a lot of things we are doing right, and here are some tweaks that we can do to help improve our process in this space. So that was really, it was sort of a really good process for us to go through.
So since you've been there now, and you know, we're just going to kind of bounce around different topics today, but as we wrap this part of the show up, like, is there a quote or a mantra that you left with that, like, you came home to the office and you're like, okay, you know, I could sum it down to, you know, this plan of action? You know, did they give you something like, you know, believe it, you know, you see all those inspirational quotes on Instagram and so forth, but was there something they left you with, like, you know, make a difference today, not tomorrow, or, you know, something like that? I mean, what do you remember from the experience?
So there's a couple of things that, first of all, I was going to remember. And one of the things that I really committed myself to doing is when we're having a discussion within our own organization, I am going to commit myself to asking really good questions to help people figure out some things on their own, right? And to help them come at the answer that might help them. And I think part of that process really is, you know, asking questions to figure out why some things are happening. But I think the thing that was most sort of impactful to me was the fact that you know, as a company, we have our values, and we do. We have a mission statement, our company does, as well as we have what we call our TMFLT 10, which are the 10 principles that sort of guide our actions. And while our values are probably going to remain pretty constant throughout our company while it's in existence, our vision, how we get to those things, are going to be the things that change. And they should change. You know, we don't want to be a blockbuster. We don't want to lose sight of moving forward to the point where we don't change things just because we're blockbuster and we don't want to change things, right?
Right.
Look where blockbuster is now. They didn't
right.
meet the demands of a changing landscape. And, you know, that's challenging. We don't want that. So that's where we allow our vision to change, and maybe how we do things and the way that we communicate with guests or the way that we do things as a company is always going to be changing and moving forward. But the values, the things that make us us, aren't going to change. And that's really important to find a way to do that. And if you look at the Disney company, their values really haven't changed, but the way that they deliver on those values has changed. So that's something I really took, you know, forward and just sort of reinforced all those things, you know, that make us us. And I, you know, I think we have a great company. I mean, at times it was one of those moments where for a while you get to maybe kind of step back where you don't really have the opportunity to do it day to day and be like, you know what? It's really cool to be a part of this. And I feel incredibly grateful for that all the time. I mean, not everyone gets to live out their dreams in a way that is just has become so much of their life like this has for me. So this isn't what I set out to do when we started this company, but I'm really glad this is where we are. And I just think, you know, we're really just getting started in this, and I look forward to the opportunities. So,
and what's funny about that is too, you know, and we're going to wrap this up, but you know, when I was a teacher, and I think everybody that passes through Walt Disney World that has any kind of a career, you know, like I was in education, I was not in sales, I was not in travel, I was not anything like that, but I would come home and I would just see things passively in how Disney has processes to get things done, you know, or how cast members are trained to interact with the guests, you know, because I took a lot of that as an elementary school teacher, and I didn't go to any Disney Institute class. I just watched the way they modeled the way the interactions were between cast members and guests, cast members and cast members, the way things were efficiently done throughout the parks. You know, you could just see like they have a plan here, you know, something as simple as trash collection or, you know, just how everybody presents themselves with their uniforms, you know, with their costumes. So I would take a lot of that back into my elementary school classroom and just have a plan just as what I observed on my Disney vacations. I'm sure the people that are in sales, you know, and in all kinds of other fields see this on their vacations, and maybe they bring that home, not even Disney Institute, but this is probably a way just to take it to the next level.
It's true. At the end of the day, I'm very grateful that we're in a company that allows each of our agents to really be the CEO of themselves, right? The CEO of their area, their business. And there's lots of opportunities for success. There's lots of opportunities to do things in a way that fit each individual person's style, as long as the overall umbrella is it is meeting those values of our company and continuing to provide on that. And then lots of things. I mean, you know, just lots of really cool things. I get to talk Disney all the time. I don't get to talk about the running of business or leadership on the podcast much, because that's not what the podcast is about, right? This isn't a leadership podcast. But it's something that occupies a huge part of my day, is thinking about those things. So it was kind of good to flex that internal muscle a little bit. So,
and it's so weird. I mean, you have so many different kinds of Disney vacations. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's a Disney vacation that 95% of the people don't know exists, you know, like to go down there and better your career.
Sure.
You know, you think about going to riding rides. All right, Ricky, let's hop over to you. So you went down over the weekend and kind of bounced around World and over to Universal and did some stuff. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing you did, I mean, honestly, with Hot Dog Hall of Fame, but
absolutely. I got to sit in the chairs that used to be at Busch Stadium.
Shut up.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know. I've never heard of the Hot Dog Hall of Fame. I mean, I'm all about it. I don't know what it is. So quickly, tell us about that, because I was more excited about that than Hagrid the Horrible or whatever you did. I mean, come on. talk to me about hot dogs. Let's get to the important stuff.
let's get to the hot dogs. Yeah, so at Universal, they have the Hot Dog Hall of Fame, and it's at City Walk, and it is a restaurant that serves hot dogs from all different, like, different stadiums around the U.S. So they have, each one has a different, you know, topping and things like that. So the Chicago hot dog has toppings that would be equivalent to Chicago, and the Detroit dog is the one that I got, and it had chili and onions, and my brother got another hot dog from another region. And so anyway, so that's kind of their whole point, is you get to get hot dogs from all these different, you know, ballpark regions, and it's kind of cool. And then they have this area where you can sit and you can enjoy your hot dog while you're in seats from former ballparks. So I got to sit in a bench that, or a seat that had been in Old Busch Stadium, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, just make sure you never sit in a seat from Wrigley. I mean, I love Wrigley, but no, you can't do that.
Yeah. There was a Chicago seat there. I don't think it was from the Cubs. I think it was from the White Sox. But
Comiskey. So. Good. Okay, so so tell us about some of the highlights from your trip. We're going to get all this stuff in.
Okay, so I was originally going to go to Walt Disney World on Saturday, and then as we were driving underneath the gates, my brother is like, "You haven't ridden Hagrid's yet, have you?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Let's go to Universal." So we turned the car around and headed over to Universal. And, you know, everybody's been asking about this attraction because it is the new hotness at Universal. It's at Islands of Adventure. It is in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and it is Hagrid's Magical Creature Motorbike Adventure. And it's a long name, so it's just going to be called Hagrid's from here on out by me. But what they have done is they have torn down the old Dragon Challenge, or otherwise known as Dueling Dragons, and they have built a completely new coaster in this section. And when I say they built a new coaster, I mean they built an entire new thing. The thing that this attraction has been famous for so far has been both the lines as well as the extended downtimes. Knowing that I only had half the day to be at Universal for this, I said, well, this is the only thing I'm going to go do today, so let's make sure, like, that was what we went to. And so we got in line, and we got in line about 1 o'clock, and we waited. The line is gorgeous. The queue that they have is, I mean, what they've done is simply spectacular. Now, they've taken parts of the old Dragon Challenge queue and kind of incorporated it in and added new pieces to it. But the way they've made this feel like it's really, if you're a Harry Potter fan, I mean, this really feels like it's on the grounds of Hogwarts. There are these beautiful castle ruins that they've built all around as part of the attraction, as well as part of the queue. You get to go through some really interesting scenes. You get to go through a great pre-show that features Hagrid and Mr. Weasley, which explains kind of why there are multiple motorbikes, you know, because these are Sirius's motorbike, and, well, there was only one of them in the movie, so how are there multiple? So they explain kind of how that whole process is. And the pre-show is really fantastic. There was a small delay, and by small, I mean I waited about 45 minutes. But, you know, the good thing was that I had enough to distract myself and really kind of, you know, I talked with my family, and I played on my phone and things like that. So it wasn't like, it wasn't super awful. Waiting for the 45 minutes did get a little tedious. You know, when you're not moving, things get tedious. When the line was moving, I really didn't have a problem. I mean, you really didn't feel like you were waiting, because there was so much to look at. There's a scene where you get to walk through, you get to see a bunch of eggs that Hagrid has had. He's hatching these blast-ended scroots, which, if you know anything about the books, there are these apparently giant creatures. When I was reading the books, I was like imagining them to be very small creatures. No, these are giant creatures that he's created. And that's what you are going to see while you are on your tour, is you're going to go, Hagrid's going to show you these blast-ended scroots. And then you go on this coaster adventure. And I have to tell you, it was fantastic. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Harry Potter fan or anything. I'm a coaster fan. I love Harry Potter. But what they've done, they have some great audio animatronics. They have just the story is really great overall. You really get the idea of the story as you're riding it. You can choose to ride in the sidecar, or you can choose to ride on the motorcycle. And I was a little scared, but I rode on the motorcycle because you definitely feel so much freer in the motorcycle. So I will say, like, if you're a little nervous, go on the sidecar. But it was really, really awesome. There is, I will kind of spoil it, so spoiler alert, there is a drop in this coaster. So it's not that far. I don't do Tower of Terror because I don't like the dropping feeling. But you know it's coming if you know the books. So the drop is really not that bad. It does go backwards. You go up a spike and your motorcycle dies, and because you're flying. So the motorcycle dies. You do go backwards and you careen through it. It's a really smooth coaster. It is super fantastic. If you are a Harry Potter fan or a coaster fan, I absolutely suggest you go ride this. Now, everybody's asking, how long did I wait for the ride? We actually waited, by the time we got on the ride, we waited about 2 hours and 15 minutes. But if we hadn't had the 45 minute delay, it would have been about an hour and a half. So it really wasn't so bad. And I very much enjoyed it. And I think if you're going to Universal, you definitely want to make sure you go on Hagrid's.
You go there, I'll go to the Hot Dog Hall of Fame.
Enjoy.
I can eat a lot of hot dogs in 2 hours. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, yes.
Sounds fun. So. I have no idea what you just said for the last 10 minutes, but...
That's okay. Yeah, that's everybody who watches Harry, who listens to Harry Potter, read Harry Potter, or watches the movies, they know exactly what I'm talking about. So,
good deal. All right, so we're hitting a couple, like, just kind of bouncing around. So you had a meal. You did breakfast at Cape May, and I think last week, Ricky, we had a question about a character breakfast at Cape May, right? And so give us a quick review of that.
Well, and that kind of is what spurred me to go to Cape May. Actually, the morning that I woke up that morning, and we were talking about before on the last podcast about kind of that spur of the moment, you know, trip or whatever. And obviously, this trip was spur of the moment. And that day, I had planned on going to the Magic Kingdom, but I was like, well, where do I really want to go? So I looked at the app and I saw that, hey, Cape May has a breakfast buffet for, you know, a breakfast reservation for, I think it was like an hour and a half later. And I was like, I wasn't showered or anything. I was like, well, I can get in the shower and get in my car and get there by then. So exactly what I did. And I changed my plans completely that day. And that morning I made fast passes. Granted, I know I'm a one person. I was one person, but I got a Frozen Ever After Fast Pass, and I saw that there were a few Frozen Ever After Fast Passes for that day overall, especially in the evening. But yeah, so I decided to head on over to Cape May, and I thought it was excellent, very good buffet, very solid. All your traditional foods that you're looking for. So you've got the Mickey waffles. They had French toast. They had an omelet station, which is pretty awesome. They had bacon, sausage. They had this hash thing that was like hash browns, and then I think it had shrimp in it or something like that. And then it had like a poached egg on top. That was really good. It had some kick to it though. I was like, where is this kick coming from? But it was really good. Mike, they had our tater tots that we love so very much.
Potato barrels. Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry, potato barrels. They were quite delicious as well. I will say the buffet is very... It feels very enclosed in the sense of I feel like the walkway in between the buffet and like where, you know, there's walls is very, very tight. So when the buffet was crowded, it was a little difficult to maneuver around. So just keep that in mind if you are there. Pack your patience a little bit. You might need it because other people, you know, just were constantly in my way while I was trying to fill up my plate. But other than that, I thought it was fine. Now, as for the characters, it is Minnie, Daisy, Donald, and Goofy, and they are all dressed in their beach finest. So I think Daisy was added not long ago. She replaced Mickey, and they all recently got updated in their outfits. And Minnie has the most adorable dress ever. It's this pink and blue and purple dress, and I would totally wear it if they made it in my size nice. And not mouse size. But yeah, and the characters are great. As I kind of have always mentioned, my one little pet peeve about character meals and especially being a single person, is I don't really have the ability to have anybody take my picture. I kind of have to depend on the kindness of strangers. And they sent me in a spot where I didn't really have a lot of strangers nearby me to help me out. So that was a little more difficult. I did manage to eventually get some people who were nice, kind passerbyers who were walking to the buffet who saw me struggling, trying to get pictures with the characters. But I really do wish that, you know, I know it would be an extra added expense for Disney to do, but I really wish that they would have more character handlers with the characters at the character meals. That way the whole family could get in on the photo with the character meal instead of, you know, some mom trying to take a picture of the kids, or, you know, dad trying to take a picture of everybody but himself in it. It would be really, really nice if they offered that. And especially, you know, because you are paying a premium to go to these character meals, that's my big tip for Disney with character meals, is it would be really nice if they had character attendance with all the characters.
One last thing on that. Was it like Chef Mickey's expensive? What do you think?
So I had breakfast. It was like 30. Now I got an annual pass discount, but it was like 35, 36, somewhere around there. So it wasn't cheap. But this was my only meal that day. I mean, I knew I was driving home, and so I was like, I'm going to eat good right now. Let's fill up and fill up good. So I didn't really mind as much. I think if, you know, I was paying for it as, you know, my whole family, and that's kind of why I do those character meals when I don't have Brian, because it is so expensive and I know he doesn't really care. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I tend to do the character meals when I'm alone because it is quite costly. So.
Good call. All right, yep. Pam, I want to ask Pam something, because we're kind of just bouncing around, like I said, kind of all over the place here on a Friday. You didn't stay at Walt Disney World when you were down for the Institute. You stayed over at the new Universal Resort, at least part of the time, right? So tell us about that real quick.
Well, I did. So when I was doing the Disney Institute, I actually stayed at Copper Creek.
Okay.
At one
point. Oh, well, yeah, okay. What did you, okay. You definitely so, stayed at Disney then. You did it right.
Yeah, I did. So, yes. And it was beautiful, really and truly. We have stayed at Copper Creek before. But this really gave me an opportunity to sort of, you know, dive into that. And as we mentioned on the podcast all the time, when Disney releases a special or a discounted rate, the rooms and the deluxe villa accommodations usually have the highest percentage off. And so that's something to consider when you're thinking about, you know, what you want to do, where you want to stay and all of that. So keep that in mind. I mean, you have access to the full kitchen if you're staying in one bedroom or higher. And I did do a tour over in the Magic for Less Travels Facebook page, so you can see it there if you want to see it in detail. And then I went over to Universal to check out the newest resort that has opened, and that's part of the Surfside Resort and Inn, which is part of this larger resort that is actually going to have two sides, yes. Surfside and Dockside, and basically they're different themed, but having the same options there at the Endless Summer Resort.
Yes.
Now, this is Universal's foray into the value accommodations, and this is actually... They have all these different levels of accommodations like Disney does. Prior to this, the lower resort was Cabana Bay, and it's a prime value because of the location and because of the amenities that are available. This is actually a value resort, and the price point's really low on this. Like, standard rooms are under $100. And so that's how it is. But I just want you to know that it's really located in a different area than the rest of Universal is. And I will have to say, as someone who really enjoys being able to walk to the theme parks and other resorts and things like that, I miss this. I miss this because of where the location is. That's not saying it's good or bad, and that's absolutely something that is me. But one of the things I love about Universal Orlando is that you can walk to everything. So... this is literally across I-4. I mean, it's, you can't. It's not like a, can you possibly walk it? No, sir.
Well, I mean, how fast are you, and how much do you value your life? It's kind of like a human. It's kind of like a, I consider it like Frogger for humans.
It would be worse than that, because you would not only be crossing I-4, but you'd be jumping over bridges and, I mean, overpasses. And
never say never when it comes to your vacation. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah,
you are so not allowed. But the good news is, of course, that there's transportation. There is bus transportation, dedicated bus transportation to these resorts. So the resorts here, too, also have standard rooms that would accommodate four, and then a two-bedroom suite, which would accommodate up to six, with two queen beds in the main area and a queen bed in kind of a master bedroom where you can close the door. Now, I don't want you to think of this two-bedroom as being like a two-bedroom at a deluxe villa at Disney. It does not have a living room area and then, you know, all of this. There's no couch or whatever. There is a kitchenette area, though, and there is a table. It's a picnic table to sort of go with the theme of this resort. And it's, you know, the resort is very cute. It really is. The theming was done well. Really is kind of a cool theme. But I want you all to know that it probably won't appeal to everyone just because it is a value resort. And that's totally okay. I mean, that's the whole point in offering a different kind of resort, is that this will appeal to some people while not appealing to others.
Do you think, PM, that they're trying to compete with maybe those hotels that are on on iDrive, and that's what they're really trying to compete with?
Maybe. Yeah. You know, this does offer a more themed experience than like a Hampton Inn. I mean, right. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Tom Baudet.
Hampton Inn may have a lower price point, but it's not going to be themed like the beach. So.
Right.
We'll leave the light on for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. The other thing to note is, too, that there is only one quick service location, and it has a limited menu. And there's also a Starbucks available in the lobby, too. So, you know, they're really appealing to, you know, a certain group of folks. But that's okay. I mean, that's, you know, a fun thing. It does have a pool. The pool is not overly themed. It doesn't have a slide. All their other resorts that are on Universal property do. So, like the Disney resorts, this pool does not have a slide either. And those are sort of the limitations of it. You're absolutely going to notice a difference in towels and washcloths, you know, from the plushier resorts. You just are. That happens at Disney, and that's the same at Universal. One of the things I do like that they have done, though, is really the theming. I think that they did carry that out. The rooms feel very much like they are suggesting. Like it is, you know, this kind of surf sort of resort. And I do like that. I think they're colorful and cute and modern and contemporary. And I think in that space, they did a good job.
All right. Well, we have time to squeeze in one more experience that Ricky had down on her trip. And it was very cool. She got to go over to Give Kids the World. And we're very thankful that they are so kind to, you know, always have great hospitality to our show and to our listeners. And our listeners definitely repay them in volunteer hours and financial support throughout the years. And we appreciate you guys for all you do for the village. It's such an amazing place. But Ricky, you got to have a really cool experience there. So about 5 minutes, because I know you go on for 5 hours about this.
I
know how fangirl you are about this. Five minutes.
Amazing.
Tell us what happened.
Well, speaking of listeners who, you know, go to Give Kids the World, I just want to bring that up. I actually met one of our listeners. Her name is Lacey. I think, Mike, you have met her
Lacey
before.
Yeah, Lacey Littman. Yeah, we rode Seven Doors Mine Train together one time.
Yes, she mentioned that to me. Well, she was actually at the event as well, and she was there volunteering, and she said that she found out about Give Kids the World through us, and that just made my heart so happy. She says she volunteers there, I think she said a couple times a week, she's there all the time. And she says that is her happy place now. We've had discussion, you know, we had the discussion and she really loves, being over there. And I told her that she has to call in when we have our first live show for, Give Kids the World, because her story is just so fantastic, that she told me. So I won't spoil it, but it was so great to finally meet Lacey. She was a blogger for me at the Mouse for Less as well. So, you know, it was so great to finally meet her. And it makes my heart so happy to hear that, you know, people are hearing about the village and volunteering, you know, and so that's just wonderful. But Give Kids the World was so kind to invite me to attend this event. Now, they have these speaker series, and they happen lately been happening about every month, every other month. They happen, you know, at least every couple months or so. And what they do with these speaker series is they have celebrities from the Disney world, not Walt Disney World, but, you know, the Disney world overall, the overarching world. And they have them come in and they speak about kind of their experiences working for Disney, working with Disney, that kind of thing. So the past one that they just had before the one I went to was on Disneyland's anniversary, and it was people who actually worked at Disneyland, and they were sharing their experiences of what it was like to work at Disneyland and, you know, work with Walt and things like that. If you want to read a little bit more about that, go check out The Mouse for Less. Our blogger Kylie actually got to go to that event, and she got to experience what that was like. And so you can kind of read a little bit more about what the speaker series is like. This speaker series, though, was Paige O'Hara. And for those who don't know, Paige is the voice of Belle in the actual animated version of Beauty and the Beast. So, there was her, and then it was Linda Larkin. Now, Linda was the voice of Jasmine from Aladdin. You know, they got to come up on stage. Paige's husband actually is the one who interviewed the two of them. And they talked a little bit about their experiences and how they got into acting. And they were actually both more, Paige, of course, was more of a Broadway star at the time. And Linda, maybe not so much, but she was still, you know, kind of in that realm. She was actually a dancer. They kind of talked about how they got their roles. One thing I learned was that Aladdin was actually supposed to be first. Aladdin was supposed to come out before Beauty and the Beast, but they ended up switching it along the way. And it was also interesting to hear about one of the things that I really wish Disney would do is they did hire these Broadway caliber actresses to take the parts of these princesses or these characters and things like that. I feel like now maybe Disney relies a little bit too much on the name. And I know they did that a lot with Michael Eisner too, but it is nice to kind of have some of these very quality Broadway caliber stars singing. And I know that they kind of did that with Idina Menzel, with, you know, Frozen. And of course, Idina is just so iconic. So, you know her anyway, but I do appreciate when they do things like that to add that Broadway caliber to the Disney movies. But it was just so interesting hearing their stories, hearing what things were like as they've gone on with, you know, being these princesses. Because, you know, once you're a princess, you're always a Disney princess.
That'd be awesome.
Yes. So it was really interesting to hear their stories. And then to hear how they kind of reacted when they were like, hey, you know, this movie, Ralph Breaks the Internet, well, we're going to add some Disney princesses to this. So we're going to bring you all back and have you guys re-record, you know, record dialogue. So that was really interesting. Now, a lot of people don't know in Ralph Breaks the Internet, they were only supposed to have one scene with the Disney princesses. But due to the reaction that the scene got at D23 Expo the last time, it was so monumental that they added in the second scene. So they didn't have that scene created originally. So that was kind of cool. So the whole event was really awesome. It was a great experience. Then it gets to the end of the night and they come back out and they're signing autographs and things like that, because you could buy artwork and things to benefit Give Kids the World. I just kind of waited around and I went up to each of them and I just told them thank you. These two women, they were my childhood. They were who I listened to over and over again by watching their movies. I mean, I wore out Beauty and the Beast. I know that our tape skips. I still have it. And I know our tape skips because I watched those movies all the time. I remember seeing Aladdin in theaters for the first time. And I know it wasn't the first movie that I saw in theaters, but it's one of the ones that has the most impact to me. I remember where I was. I remember who I was with. I remember sitting in the theater. So these two movies are a part of my DNA, and these two women have helped who I have become. And without these women, I may not be the person that I am, because they were such strong princesses in their own right. And it was so bizarre to hear, you know, them speak, because I could hear them, you know, I could see them as so princesses, I and I could hear their voice. Matter of fact, Linda, she's the most, she sounds the same mostly. And so as she was talking, there's a line that I could hear over and over again. And it's the line Jasmine says of, "I am not a prize to be won." And I just kept hearing that over and over again as she was speaking, you know. It was just, it was so bizarre and awesome. You know, it's kind of like how people are when they come up to us and they're like, "Oh, it's so weird to see you speak," you know.
People tell me that all the time. Like, whoa, I've never, that voice is coming right out of your mouth. That's like, well, that's gone for 45 years of my life.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, they were so kind to me and so wonderful. And I am so thankful for these two women, that they were so generous of their time and so wonderful to speak with. And if you want to see a little bit about the experience, you can go to the Instagram or our Facebook on for the Be Our Guest podcast and see all that. And I do know they do have another speaker series coming, and it will be one I will absolutely be at, because my real princess, the one that I identified with the most in the sense of that was my princess, was Ariel, and that will be Jodi Benson. And Jodi Benson is coming. I don't know when, but I will be at that one come heck or high water. I will be at that one. So, you know, but it was just these women. I mean, I was a bookworm like Belle. I mean, she's really who I identify and personality wise the most like. And so it was just, I had to thank them both for making me who I am. It was just incredible. So
what this show is, it's proof that you guys have way better weekends and weeks than I did. I mean, you know, like, I was unpacking boxes and deciding, should I keep this pair of shoes or should I give them to Goodwill? And you guys are meeting Disney princesses and furthering, like, your leadership skills at Disney, staying at Copper Creek, visiting new resorts.
But I need you to come to my house and go through my clothes and decide whether I need
I'm never doing that again.
To
ever.
Goodwill.
I'm never, ever, ever getting back together. No, never doing that again. So, ever. Like, so. Ever. Anyway, so that's going to do it for today's show. Hopefully you enjoyed just kind of bouncing around. Pam and Ricky did have some amazing experiences. Wanted to get those out here right away on the show. Next Friday, we'll hop into, you know, talking to resorts or talking about, you know, stuff in theme parks to make your next Disney vacation better. Just want to give you just kind of some hot topics here that have happened in the last little bit or so. So don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you have that next Disney vacation on the horizon, remember, those are the best times in life. Those are the important times. They're with the people you love. You're going to make the memories that you're going to talk about for decades. Literally, you're going to talk about those for decades. Trust that trip with the great agents over at the Magic for Less. They're going to make sure that you're in the best position to have a great trip, get you the best financial deal so you don't pay more than you need to, and their services are absolutely free. So whether you're going to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, or a Disney cruise, check them out today. They got a great website, great place to get started. While you're there, fill out the quote form. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Check them out today over at the Magic for Less. .com. Also, don't forget to support our show with the Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so much. Also, pay attention because I'm going to try very hard to have a live call-in show this Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. So watch for that as well. And just join the Facebook page. You're getting an alert there. It's facebook.com/brguestpodcast. And follow us on social over at Instagram and Twitter at beourguestpod and at beourguestmike. All right, time to get out of here. Let you get on with your weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe out there. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wish you an awesome weekend. Have fun, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.